This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Ramadan Reset with me, your host, Lauren Booth. This podcast series is sponsored by watan.org.uk, delivering services to Syrians in need.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuhu.
So my guest today is a wonderful sister who I met in London just a few months ago, and I've now become a firm fan of her work, mashallah. It's Nuseiba Mohammed Timol, and Nuseiba is the founder and director of WOW Creative Arts. That's W-A-W. And this is the world's first dedicated Islamic creative arts school, and it was established in London, UK. We're going to be hearing more about that, inshallah. Very exciting to me as an actor to know that finally I get to teach Muslim students, but not acting, but the ways to use skills from that way of life for the best. Nuseiba's work and profile within the modest fashion industry has been featured on a number of mainstream platforms such as BBC, Channel 4, Vogue and The Evening Standard. And Nuseiba has also been recognised as one of the 100 most inspirational Muslims in the UK by the Emerald Network. We're going to talk a little bit, inshallah, after I introduce you, about a certain competition that you won. But I just want to greet you, my dear sister. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Ramadan Reset.
Wa alaikum assalam, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. I'm totally into the flowers next to you. Can you tell me, are they freshly picked?
No. They're not real.
They look really nice, mashallah. You know what, sis? I think what's really fascinating is to let people know that you were the first female winner of the Islam Channel's first national qiraat competition in 2006. How old were you when you won that competition?
So the competition started when I was 12, and it went on for a whole year. So there was various stages. It was a very long process, challenging but in a very positive way, alhamdulillah. And it ended when I was 13. So the final was when I was actually 13 years old, alhamdulillah, which is now 14 years ago. Yeah, so a long time ago, but I've seen it's still, the National Qiraat Competition is still happening, and it's so beautiful to see how it's progressed and how many more female reciters have come about and, you know, taken the stage, the space on the stage. It's just been an incredible journey to see that, actually.
Subhanallah. And you're right, we had the Mariam Amir, I call her the Mariam Amir, that's her Instagram handle, Mariam Amir Sheikha. She prefers Ustada, but Allahu Alam. And she has been encouraging sisters to recite aloud in their most beautiful pronunciation, particularly during this Ramadan, and giving us really space to enjoy our voices with the and interact with the Quran in that way, mashallah, tabarakallah. Have you been following that?
Yeah, I've been interacting with her, actually, and, you know, she's posted some of my work, and it's incredible what she's doing, you know, just encouraging female reciters, you know, and you see, like, just one platform and a space has allowed females to just gather and send their work, and it's very encouraging. But, you know, over the years, there has been challenges as female reciters, and, you know, for me, personally, over this lockdown period, I've actually done a lot more recitation myself and recitation videos that people have requested for many years, but I hadn't had the opportunity or time to do so, simply because, you know, you're so busy in this, like, London life, you know, working, doing so many things. And this lockdown has become like a blessing in disguise, you know. So all the things that we couldn't do or didn't have the time or opportunity to do, we're doing now. So I've been posting a lot of recitation recently, and I've also revived my YouTube channel just during the lockdown, which had been inactive for maybe around 13 years. Yeah. So the last time anything was posted was when I was, you know, in the competition. And once I posted a video recently, the amount of love I've received and the amount of people that have messaged saying, you know, I've learnt reciting from your videos, but could you please finish? Because there's the videos have like, you know, either a beginning of a surah or a middle, because that's how the competition was. And, you know, many people have started reciting, following my recitation, but they haven't been able to complete it. So inshallah, that's really my intention now, to complete those videos and, you know, fulfill everyone's requests that have been coming through for many years. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We are going to get into some amazing subjects in this show, inshallah ta'ala, all about how a young sister goes to be a qari, if that's the right term for a sister, I'll have to ask, and her journey into the arts as well, and how that can impact our children and our future and the way we look at creativity. When a sister is young and beautiful and on the deen and has a nice voice, something happens. Shaitan gets in there in so many different ways. We watch it time and time again. And suddenly, the pull to take off hijab, the pull to be that bit more fashionable by leaving the way of life behind, or maybe becoming a pop star. Does any of that resonate with you?
I personally, for me, the journey I've taken was very intentional. It wasn't an urge from my surroundings. I've always, from a very young age, I've been both creative and alhamdulillah, I've always had the urge to, you know, be a part of the deen and learn and educate myself and make a positive change, you know. So I would say faith and fashion has always been something that is a part of me from a young age, and my parents have really been okay with it and pushed it, but it was the intention that allowed them to be okay with it, I guess, because for me it wasn't, oh, I want to, you know, be involved in the fashion industry just because it's cool and I want to be part of like the fashion shows and go to events and so on and have cool friends. But mainly the real intention behind it was that there hasn't been someone in the faith space that is also in the creative and especially fashion industry, and that connects the two and merges these two. And for me, it was really important to allow young generation to resonate with me and want to and look at me as a role model, and for them to really be able to connect, right, and find me approachable. I think a lot of the times we have, there's a separation between the two industries. So a lot of young generation who want to be fashionable, who want to, you know, post things and be cool, but also want to learn a little bit about the deen, but they feel like, oh, maybe I may be judged or I won't fit in completely. And they don't find it easy to approach, you know, certain figures. So I wanted to be that figure that shows young generation, especially females, that, you know, look, you can do both, right? I'm here. If you need any help in either of those, let's connect. Let's really make a difference, a positive change in our society, and, you know, merge the two. I mean, build a bridge between the two. So from a young age, that's really been my intention. And, you know, people look at it in different ways, but alhamdulillah, I would say that I've always got a positive response. A lot of, when I say that, well, I've had challenges, but it's been a positive challenge. A challenge that's made me a better person. Say just for example, if I take the competition, you know, it was a whole year long, and it was very challenging. But not because, you know, Islam Channel didn't want females to go further, and I really appreciate that they're one of the first to actually have a competition where females were allowed to take part, and, you know, go this far. You know, if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't become this worldwide, and it wouldn't encourage so many other female reciters. But again, it was positive change because we had to do so many stages. Like, I had to learn how to do various recitations, like tarfil and so on, and I had to even do a khutbah, which was just like, oh my god, how crazy is this, right? We had to do a khutbah, we had to do, you know, memorize of different juz and They would recite like an ayah from anywhere. So there's been challenges, but it's been so positive, and that made me more stronger and made me a better reciter. Similarly, in the fashion industry, you know, when I first got involved in the creative arts, people were a bit confused, like, oh, you're a reciter, you know, you're part of this Islamic community. Why are you doing this? You know, it was a confusion, but I used to actually go to events, Islamic Relief events, Hulu events, so many charity events that, I dressed up like this, and recite. You know, I used to go to TV and recite, but dressed up like this. So in the first year or second year or so, it was, a little bit like a shock to people's system, but because I never, you know, let that kind of stop my journey, and I never let people's kind of comments stop my journey to making a positive change. They grew with me. They really followed the journey and realized, actually, she's not doing this just to kind of put a, how do I say it, you know, a bad name to Muslims or anything. But really, she's drawing a new path for the generation, for us to be involved with the Western community and show them what we're really about, without, and let them see things as it is, you know? Mm. So I would say that's been my journey, but I do feel, like you mentioned, that a lot of people are going through this, you know, dilemma of whether to, you know, take a hijab off, or whether to be cool, or whether to do this and everything. And I feel like, you know, it's all about discipline, and you know, it's really hard as a young person in this society to have discipline, right? Mm. And to kind of, you know, like put those negative energy or questions and, you know, thoughts to aside and really have a direction. So I would say that's really because of how fast paced our life is and how fast paced social media is, right? But, you know, we have to always remember what is our intention. And for me, one of the key things has been inspiration from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that his leadership qualities and how he treated people and how he merged communities and how he, you know, had so much compassion. Mm. And as a leader, how he looked at his team and really got people involved. So that's always been my inspiration, the leadership qualities from our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I think if you have one set goal, it really helps you connect all the dots. Mm.
That's really fascinating, mashallah, what you said about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taking society with him towards Allah Ta'ala.
That's the thing. As we all are, I think we're all at different stages in life, and it's really important, like I said, to have that one connection that you always have, you know, because it is, in this path, it is so easy to get distracted. You know, as a young person, I know how distracting it is, you know, the events, and there's so many people that I've seen myself, and so many, like, influential friends that I've had kind of, you know, drop out of who they started as. And it's sad to me, but when I have conversations, it is because, you know, they've not had one focal point. And for me, the focal point, and I guess it's, you know what, I would say it's a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even at every stage of my life, I have noticed that there's something that will happen that always gets me back to that urge of learning more about the deen. You know, whatever stage I've been, you know, if I'm taking a little break, again, for example, just this blessing of recitation, I've taken a big break, although I've been teaching behind the scenes, I've taken a break from social media, I'd say, I've been teaching Quran, I've gone to both young and elderly, online and offline, at the school, but I've just not posted about it, right? And I've had so many people message me, but again, now, at this stage of my life, there's something, Allah's given me that blessing and the energy and the focal point to say, you know what, we need to push this. We need to, get back to encouraging people. We need to, fulfill those requests, because people still have that connection with you. And it's mind-blowing for me to know that people actually have been in this journey with me from when I was little, you know, and people actually go, oh my God, you've changed so much, you look so different. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's been around 14, 15 years, right? I'm married, I've got these teeth, and, you know, I'm like overeating and everything, but, you know, it's just amazing that people have followed me through this journey. So,
SubhanAllah.
The focal point is key. Right.
I love that. That's really important. I want to welcome somebody very special onto to the group below in the comments. Ava or Eve. She's from Germany. And Ava says, thank you. I appreciate a lot how you convey the message of Islam. She entered Islam 2 weeks ago and has taken the hijab straight away and feels really proud to wear it. Mashallah, sister, you are welcome. You have just made the best deal of the century. You have just been given a gift which is weightier than the whole world. You have just been accepted to the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, which you can convey to others in time, inshallah, if Allah wills. You are now full of light and full of life. So this, and in Ramadan, of course, in Ramadan, the blessed month. Sister, I wonder if you have a message. And then we're going to go and talk about Syria and the work of Watan. So stay tuned how you can help, inshallah. So, sister, a hijab, being new to Islam, give us a message.
Ava, first I want to say congratulations. I mean, this is a huge step. Mashallah, I'm so happy that you have joined us and, you know, you're one of us now. And honestly, it will be challenging, but it's going to be one of the best things that you've done. And again, like I said, to be honest, if you need any encouragement, if you need any help, please do contact me. I'm here as a sister and I'm here as a young person. I myself haven't worn the hijab all my life and I do know the challenges. And if you need any sort of support and encouragement in anything, I'm here.
When you think about organizations you can trust, it's based on making a real difference to the people that they're meant to serve. I support Watan UK because their programs lift Syrians out of misery. They've just constructed two new villages for internally displaced people in Kafr Jalis, which is an Idlib sub-district. These new camps, they have schools, clinics, decent accommodation, real sanitation, and educational opportunities for internally displaced children and adults. You can support the continued running of these services right now by going to watan.org.uk. May Allah bless you.
For example, right now in Tarawih, I absolutely love and enjoy reading out loud because it just really gets me into the zone and like in that, you know, in that meditating zone that there's just me and Allah and I'm speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the words, when you recite correctly and when you read beautifully, you know, we are meant to recite the Quran beautifully and we're meant to beautify the recitation because the words are so strong and the words have so much meaning. And when you recite like that, every time it gets me emotional, every time it really, you know, it makes me think instantly that I need to be a better Muslim. I need to be a better person. Everything that I haven't done, even if those words aren't meaning that, but it's just something happens in that moment. And, you know, Allah tells you, you are reciting my words. You are my servant and you need to, you know, connect back. And it's just, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. You know, it's just, it gives you that crazy feeling. And I've always encouraged reciting beautifully and reciting correctly because it really just changes your feeling towards the Quran and it makes you love the Quran more.
And how about the learning for those of us who are starting out? Because it's a very different process and we should approach it differently. It's not a win-lose. It's not a linear process. It is, you take a step. I find personally, and everybody's journey to the Quran is different. I have one good day and then I seem to take one step back and 99 back, you know, just one step forward every so often. But then you have moved forward and then there's a little opening and then there's a chink of connectivity, of really love. Because it's not about the Quran giving to us, it's about us respecting the Quran. I think it's the way we come to it, isn't it, sister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, I can speak from my experience. You know, I studied in Saudi Arabia and when I was young. So, of course, like for those who are still young, I'd encourage doing like this. Or for everyone, you know, we started reciting without knowing any tajweed rules, right? Without knowing anything, just by listening to it correctly. Just listening to it and following our teacher. So at a young age, I was just, you know, my mom is also a Quran teacher. So, you know, I'd come home, practice with her and my grandma. And, you know, all I did was recite after and pick up the sounds, pick up like qaf and kaf and everything. I never knew any tajweed rules up until actually the competition. And I was forced to learn it because that was part of the competition. You know, it's too much to learn, I'd say. Because if you learn tajweed first, I know it is, you understand more, but a lot of people learn by just listening. So I'd encourage that's kind of one of the strong points that many people don't follow, that listening really gets you to pick up on all the sounds. You know, like with singing as well, similarly, you have to have like a mental ear. You have to pick up on the notes. It's the same thing as being able to listen to a recitation and repeat and listen and read. Repeat, listen, like, you know. So that's what I did. And that's what I encourage to my students also. And, you know, especially with beautifying the recitation, you know, I have a lot of students who want to recite like me. And what I do in those lessons is actually input singing lesson along with the recitation. So many people are like, oh, you know, how does that work? But because it's very similar. You know, when you take your breathing is very important. Your warming up your vocal is very important. You know, because warming up your vocal allows all of your sinus lessons. So you can do a gunna better. You can actually do your qaf and ayns and all of those letters better. Breathing means you can actually complete the sentence better. You know, I myself have asthma and it's been a struggle with my breathing. So it's very important for people like me, but also everyone else to practice those breathing. So I think, you know, the steps for new reciters, I'd say, is definitely to do those exercises and then get into just listening, reciting and repeat, you know, practice. And eventually you will pick up on so much. And then you can go into more depth of what the tajweed is, why this is this, what that means. And then definitely meaning, you know, what you're reading, because that is something we miss out on, you know, like during Ramadan especially. A lot of people around me have been saying, I'm going to complete the Quran at least once, you know. But for me, this month I've taken that journey that actually I'm not going to complete the Quran, but I'm going to complete reading as much meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling. Because my first language is in Arabic, and it is difficult. Arabic is a very difficult language to read, like Quranic Arabic. You know, every word has a root word, and then you have to figure out what the root word really means. It's not just the meaning itself, you know, root words, where that root word came from, and so on and so forth, yeah.
Although here's the fascinating thing. Allah Ta'ala has promised to make it easy, which means that, you know when you notice at the end of the word, fa-ha, fa-ha, ta-ha, how does that happen? How incredible is it? No wonder they thought it was poetry. So because of that lyricism, it's actually easy to retain.
Absolutely.
So once you look at it like a retention model, like a worship model and a retention model, and flow and listen, there's a real learning process of ease there, exactly. Isn't there?
SubhanAllah. Yeah, the you'll notice the surahs that have a lot of gunna in them, just automatically when you're reading, it sounds more, it sounds like poetry, it sounds like a song, right? Mm-hmm. Because of those gunna and the holding the two. So the way it starts, if you really notice each of those notes, I would say, that will connect with a lot of people. It really changes the way you read, and it will make you love it a lot more, because you'll feel like you actually understand it, you know? You'll feel connected to it a lot more, because it's kind of speaking to you in your own way, your own language, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that's one of the things that's how I learned the Quran, and then I went into memorizing from a young age. And, you know, but like I said, I actually never learned the tajweed rules up until when I was a lot older. And that's just how, and it worked. And it works for a lot of people. And when I teach the young kids here, well, my students personally, that's what I do. I start with, you know, of course, your letters and the, you know, the pronunciation, but I don't go into the depth of where exactly, just the basics, you know, you have the basics. But the complete maharaj that we don't cover it until like a lot older. But they can read,
I want to talk a little bit about how we're spending Ramadan in lockdown and how has it been for you, sister? How's lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I think it's, Ramadan in lockdown has been a blessing, complete blessing for me. Because growing up, when I lived in Saudi Arabia, during Ramadan, like work was closed, school was closed, you know, the families were at home. And, you know, since I got married, I haven't had my husband home during Ramadan, during the day, and he'll just come just before iftar or so on. And it's been so, so lovely to have like, the whole day, although we are working from home, but just being at home, being able to pray our full salah, you know, in peace, at, you know, and have that moment, you know, just a slow moment to really do ibadah has been such a blessing. And, you know, just sitting there before iftar, not rushing, and being able to, you know, recite, watch a tafsir and so on has really been a blessing. And what we've done actually at home is compartmentalize the house.
Okay.
So, you know, upstairs we've made like a prayer area dedicated with like, I've got lanterns, I've got some, of my favorite frames of du'as and, you know, my prayer mat and everything. So it's just a really nice, dimly lit space, and I feel for me, environment really changes my thought process, and it really changes how I feel. You know, I don't know if you would agree. So, so I've done that upstairs, and then you know, our dining area is of course a lot more fun, and it's where we have our iftar, and where we you know, it's all about food, fun, and then we after prayer we come back downstairs in the sitting area, and again the sitting area we've organized it with like books. Where we have like our own time to just educate ourselves, we learn more about our religion, and we have each chosen a book to read. And so each of those rooms we've made it, so we don't go crazy during lockdown, like people are saying, you know. And alhamdulillah, we've been blessed to have those rooms. And even if you don't have various rooms, it's just how you compartmentalize that specific room. You know, some people build like teepees and a little cozy area for salah, and I really encourage that, because honestly, a little prayer space just changes how you pray, rather than just putting the salah mat out there in any kind of environment. You know, it really just takes you to like how Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go to the cave, and you know, pray. It does really feel like that. You know, it feels like we're connecting to Allah on a different level.
One of the greatest dhikrs, one of the greatest du'as is Alhamdulillah. So, sister who's new to Islam, and if you're struggling with, you know, sometimes we get books and we think it's too much and we make Islam a subject that's beyond us, you need one word, Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to Allah. And that is a word that you hear a lot from refugees, believe it or not, subhanAllah, because when Allah takes, He also gives sakina. When He takes physically, He gives awareness. And He gives a way back to Him. So,
I mean, like you mentioned earlier about, you know, gratitude. I think this is, it's subhanAllah, it's such a important thing for us. And we're, during this lockdown, a lot of us are realizing that, oh, you know, we're realizing that we have things so easily, right? We go to Tesco and we get, you know, everything, just locally. And, it's so important now, especially that we've just tasted a tiny amount of what, you know, our brothers and sisters around, especially in Syria, around the world, that they're going through. We've just experienced a small bit, and I hope we realize that how blessed we are, and we feel that compassion. You know, one of, like I said, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of these, most important leadership skills was compassion. And compassion meaning that deep care for others, that deep care for people around him. And we really need to, you know, feel that. We really need to be compassionate about people around us. They're for our brothers and sisters around the world, and it's really important to care the same as we care for ourselves and as our, for our family or, you know, our siblings or kids, that we care the same for people in Syria. And I think it's really, really amazing what you are doing, Lauren, for with Watan. It's so beautiful to see, and I hope, inshallah, everyone does donate, because, like I said, it's really important that we give them the smallest amount of hope, the smallest amount of happiness. And, you know, this will take us. This will be written by our angels. This will be written by the angels that are sat here. This will be, Allah is watching everything that we're doing. And inshallah, this could be the pathway for us to, inshallah, enter in Jannah, all of us together.
So we encourage
everyone to, inshallah, donate, because it makes a huge difference for them. And it may not, it'll be something small out of our pockets, but it does make a huge difference for those people in Syria who are suffering.
What is absolutely amazing to me, sister, even after 10 years as a Muslim, and continually we're amazed by the Quran, is how much Allah Ta'ala knows us, how He has always given us, He's incentivized the deen. He's made our hearts, He's forced our hearts to be good, but then He's also incentivized it. So either way, so if we want to give, just, I feel so much love for you right now. Oh Allah, and I love the Prophet, peace upon him, I'm just ready to give. And if we also have the recognition of, I need to go to Jannah, I need to be with you, Allah says, well, this same way is charity. Exactly what you want there, right? Which is to give with the heart, but you want to go to Jannah, the two things are the same. And these are the steps. I find that absolutely, it's the methodology. Sister, several places in the, in Surah Baqarah, of course, talk about charity. I'm just going to share a few now, because it's always important for us as Muslims to go back, always to the source of our religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Be steadfast in prayer, practice regular charity, and bow down your heads with those who bow down. That's in Surah Baqarah 43. What is amazing about that is you've got the endorsement to be steadfast in prayer, so give Allah his due. All right, do what is far, do what you must do, but in a daily process. And on the other side, you've got bow down your heads with those who bow down. So you join the congregation, be amongst those. And right in the middle, practice regular charity. So it's as if you don't get to skip, you don't get to be with those, you don't get to be with that group unless you do the middle part, which is to give charity. That's how you become. So you start off on your own, be steadfast in prayer. Practice regular charity is the route to becoming a part of the community. Allahu Akbar. And it's what holds our community together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, being charity, being part of the deen, you know, it's so beautiful for us. Like I said, Allah keeps bringing us back and giving us chances to fulfill those. And, you know, like, you don't have to, if you don't have the means, like, what's beautiful about our religion is if you don't have the means, it's the intention. You may just want to have the ability to give £10, but the intention may be that, Allah, I want to, you know, I want this to help a whole family for a whole month. And Allah will give barakah in that £10. So whatever it is that you have means of giving, you know, for those of us who have the means of giving more, please do give more. But those who don't be discouraged, because it's the intention. Allah repeats in the Quran several times that it's our intention. Our intention needs to be pure. Our intention needs to be clear. Our intention needs to be good. And as long as that intention is there, then everything you do will double, triple. And you don't know how much barakah Allah will give you. You know, like for me, one of the, you know, encouraging stories that is that you know, there was once a female prostitute that, you know, she was drinking water, and there was a dog there by her side who was dying of thirst, and that was the only water left. And she thought, actually, she felt that deep care, like that compassion that I was talking about, that I've felt this thirst and I want to feed, I know what the dog is feeling as well, and then shared that water, and she has entered Jannah, right? And so we judge and we think, oh no, we have to have the highest ability. We have to have the best way of doing things. And look, you know, this person's giving £1,000, we have to give it. No, it's your intention, what you think you feel, and if it's correct, even that £10 will make a difference. Even that £10 may be your way to do that. Even that £10 may be better than the other person that you're looking at. So it's, don't be discouraged. Please always give as you can. Allah is, you know, the most gracious, most merciful, and the most loving. So if you have that deep love for your brothers and sisters, and if you have that deep love for people around you, you will get that back. You will surely get that back in every stage of your life. You know, I feel like that from experience, you know, repeatedly, you will get that blessing in various ways. And your du'as, you know, will come to you. Maybe you may do a du'a now and it will come to you 20 years later because of that good deed that you've done, because of that intention you have. So don't be discouraged and be patient. And know that Allah is seeing and all loving. And you know, that's really my message. And that's what I deeply feel.
Mashallah. And we're going to wind up with a wonderful treat for everybody by the grace of Allah. Sister, you're going to recite some Surah Fatiha and Ayat al Kursi, inshallah ta'ala. So we'd love to hear that, bi'idhnillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
ما شاء الله. الحمد لله. شكرا. Thank you so much, sister, for bringing the Quran's light alive to us. What sounds are able to be made with the human voice? I teach voice training, as sister knows as well, and that alone, the fact that there are chords over which air vibrates that then take a form to reach the ear is so miraculous.
I wanted to recite for those, just to encourage that Allah's words are so beautiful, and please do keep me in your du'as, everyone, that, you know, I can preserve this voice and I can, you know, speak for our community. I can encourage more, I can teach more, inshallah. I do pray that all of us can read and understand the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really feel that connection and what Allah is trying to tell us. And I do pray for our ummah. I pray that we all are, you know, at the same stage. We're happy. We're together, we're smiling, we have food, we have shelter. I pray for everyone that's going through tough times in their life to overcome those. I do pray that, you know, we come out of this pandemic more stronger and more better Muslims and better people. And I do pray that Allah, you know, gives us long lives, long and healthy lives, to learn more, to give more, to do more, and to become become one of those people of Jannah. And I pray that Allah does give us the highest ranks of Jannah and the ability to, you know, do beautiful things in this world and leave this world in people's memory as that we've made positive change, as positive people, as positive leaders. And I pray that we are all, we all learn to be more compassionate. I pray that we all learn to become more patient. I pray that we all learn to take the positives from everything in our daily lives and leave the negatives aside, like our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. I pray that Allah gives us the strength to become one of the peoples of the Prophet's companions, like the Prophet's wives, especially like Aisha radiallahu anha. I pray that we have the ability to take Allah's knowledge and share it and teach others. And I do pray that all those who are less fortunate in this world comes out of it, and we as an ummah can help, and we can unite as Muslims and show the world what true Islam is and what true Muslim is. And I pray that we can actually share the Prophet's words and Allah's words from the Quran in a real way to the world. Ameen.
Jazakallah khair. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. And I'll be back tomorrow, brothers and sisters. A big thank you to Sister Naseba, who's given her time. Thank you so much. May Allah bless you for that beautiful recitation.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to visit watan.org.uk to support Syrians in need.